God, we thank you that you make rivers flow and run in the barren seasons of our lives. You make springs of valleys of water run in the valley situations of our lives, God. And we've seen you do it in our lives. We've seen you do it in your word, and we believe it again tonight, that you will make the mountains move in our lives. So God, here we are. Refine us. Speak to us. God, humbly we come before you and just come under your mighty hand tonight. We know your spirit wants to do work in our lives, so we ask that you would have your way with us tonight. Make us more like your son. Ask God that you would point out those areas in our lives that need some work. That's why we're here. We want to know more of you tonight. And we already know that your presence is filled in this room. So we give you this time. In your name we pray, amen. Hey, why don't you go ahead and take a seat? You know, I recently read a story. It's a real true life story of a conversation that a traveler had with this farmer in New York State. And they got to talking about the weather. And the farmer, he was just so assured that he could predict what the weather was going to be like to this traveler. And he said, I can tell what's going to happen based on what happens with the behaviors of my cows. He says, well, if they're standing, it means it's going to rain in 24 hours. If they're lying down, it means it's going to rain. The traveler looks out at the herd and he says, well, what happens if half of them are standing and the other half are lying down? And the farmer looks at him with a smile and he says, that means half of them are wrong. Predicting the weather, predicting the future has been around since the beginning of mankind. You know, people have tried everything from tea leaves to Ouija boards to horoscopes to astrology, trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. I read in an autobiography of Nancy Reagan that she didn't believe in astrology, and neither should you. But one day, a card reader came to her and said, I don't think you should send President Reagan out to that event today. I think his life is in danger. And that day, President Reagan was shot. And from that day forward, Nancy Reagan started using astrology to determine President Reagan's traveling schedule. She even used it to help guide some of his presidential decisions. So tonight, I bet you're sitting there, and I bet you would feel comfortable if you knew some truthful predictions about your life. My wife and I, we're trying to get to know our neighbors because they're awesome. And, you know, we work a lot on the weekends, and all of our neighbors are off on the weekends, so it's really hard for us to connect, but, you know, they love football, and they have this fantasy football league. So my wife and I are like, we got to get involved somehow. So we go to the commish. That's what we call him, the commish. His name is Kevin. Kevin, do you think that we could join the fantasy football league when it starts? We know it's coming up, and it didn't really happen like this, but it's just what it feels like to me. Well, do you know anything about football? No? Well, you're in. I mean, of course you want a new guy that has nothing about football. You want him in that league. So here we are. Last week was football season, right? It started. And I honestly had no idea it was so intense. I mean, there's so many predictions about who to draft, who to play, who not to play. And I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm researching all these guys that we drafted. And, you know, who are we playing against, the weather conditions. And what I learned after week one of fantasy football is that majority of these predictions that I followed were wrong. But you know what? It didn't stop Team Antonio Sendero from winning week one. That's me and my wife's team. You know, it's funny because my wife and I were talking and we were trying to figure out a creative name for our team because everyone else had these awesome names, and We don't know nothing about foosball, so, you know, we knew where we lived, and we knew that our cross streets were Antonio Sandero, and it kind of sounded similar to the guy that we drafted in the first round, Antonio Brown. So that's our name, Antonio Sandero. It's kind of cool. Tonight, I want to talk about my truthful prediction about your life. We're in a series of Hebrews in the last chapter of Hebrews 13, and Bill next week, Bill Dockstrom is going to be here, and he's going to be giving his final takeaways of all of Hebrews, so you're not going to want to miss next Thursday. Hebrews chapter 13, it's kind of like a summary or an appendix of all the practical things that we have been studying these past few months, and it has over 20 imperatives and on 15 different subjects. So you gotta believe me, my mind was all over the place. What do I talk on tonight? There's so much stuff that I could cover. You know, if you were to look at CNN.com right now, you would be filled with all these stories on sex, money, power, and suffering, because that's the culture that we currently live in today. That's what sells. That's what a lot of people think makes the world go round. And I bet as you continue to go through all of CNN, you will be lucky if you find one mention of Jesus. But here in Hebrews chapter 13, we find sex, money, power, suffering, and a lot of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, it's on the screens. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to cover 1 through 17 tonight. And it goes like this. Keeping on loving each other as brothers and sisters, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if they were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of their faith. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the body of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home, and we are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. How many of you guys have a cat? Come on. You know, I once had two little kittens, and I was convinced that I was going to make them the coolest, most friendliest kittens on the block. So I decided I was going to take them on catwalks, and I bought them a harness and a leash, you know, because I wanted them to experience a coyote-less outside world, cat owners, you know what I mean? So I put the harness on them, the leash, and I set one of the cats down, and as soon as I take one step, it was like... Trying to be a leader in a church is like trying to take a cat on a walk. Craig and Matt have the hardest job in the world. Not only are they trying to follow God's will for us as a church, but they have to lead a huge staff. They have to lead a congregation of 1,500 plus people that all have different personalities, all have different giftings, different opinions, and we're all human, so of course it gets messy. So sometimes we're kind of like a cat on a leash. Matt speaks and the Holy Spirit speaks through him and tells us some things that we need to change in our lives, but we fight it like a cat on a leash. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, no, take this thing off. No, I don't want to change. Stop controlling me. No, I'm a powerful kitten. But God says, you are my sheep, and I've given you two shepherds. I've given you Craig Whitaker. I've given you a teaching pastor named Matt Whitlock. And you may not like it when I have them point out some things in your life that need some fixing, but it's for your good. And you may not like it when I have them take the staff when you stray away and they pull you in to the community of Capitol Beach Church, but it's for your good. And you may not like it when you want to quit the race, when you're tired and you want to give up, and Craig and Matt just keep saying, keep going forward, keep finishing strong. It's for your good. And it's what the writer is trying to tell us, that we need to obey the people that God has put over our lives, the shepherds that are to take care of us. We're also to imitate their faith. You know, one guy that is a leader here at our church that I would love to imitate his faith, his name is Jeff Golden. He's probably in that prayer room right now praying for you. And I guarantee you, if he's not in that prayer room, it's because he's traveling and he's at his hotel right now on his knees praying for you, that the Holy Spirit would begin to do a work in your heart, that transformation and restoration would take place. He's praying for me right now that the Holy Spirit would speak through me to you. That's a guy that I want to follow because he showed me an example of what it's like to be a follower of Christ. He sends me text messages all the time and he's sharing to me what God is doing in his life. He's sharing me scripture to encourage me. You know, for his 60th birthday, that was a few months ago, what he asked for was, I want the worship team to come to my house and I want to bring my friends, and I want you to lead us in worship because I want to thank God for the 60 years that he's given me, and I want to praise him. Amen. That was the coolest thing. I'm like, I'm there. You tell me where to go. What songs do you want to sing? Steve Araujo, our bass player, says, I want to learn how to stand up, surf, paddle, whatever it's called. Jeff says, I know how to do that. I'll take you. I guarantee you they're out there every single day talking about Jesus. Is there someone in your life that you can imitate their faith? The false teaching the author in Hebrews is talking to us about is probably not so relevant to us today because I believe we get some pretty good sound doctrine taught to us. But here's something I want us to consider. Teaching is like advice. You know, you can choose to accept it. You can choose to accept what I'm saying tonight. You can choose to push it to the side and ignore it. But consider this. Where are you getting your advice from outside these church walls? I don't know about you, but if I'm getting advice from someone, I want to make sure that they're connected to my Creator. How can they give me godly wisdom if they don't even know who my Creator is? Or how can I trust that they have the best interests at heart for me if they don't even know whose I am? You see, the ways of this world are so much different than the ways of God that I need someone that will give me advice that understands that. Because they will be able to speak some truth into my life with love. And I'll be able to receive it with grace. I need advice that's going to point me to Jesus. Because verse 8 says, the past and present work of Jesus is sufficient to meet all of my needs, all of your needs. On the weekends, we've started a new series called I Am, a Lifestyle Missionary. Matt has been challenging each one of us to be on mission with God. No matter where you are in the workplace, no matter what career you are in, we are all called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, making disciples and teaching them to obey the things of God. The author of Hebrews is encouraging us to do the same. He's saying, I want you to go outside the camp, outside these church walls, and I want you to share what God's doing in your life. But you know what? It's not going to be easy. Look what happened when Jesus went outside the gates. But he says, take heart, because he has overcome the world. And this place that we are in today is just a temporary place. And we long for the new heaven to come, the new city to come. The very first verse, the author gives us instructions for living out the Christian faith. And I like to call it at the street level. And I think Matt kind of talked about it like this on this weekend. But the author's trying to tell us that there should not be a difference of how we live our lives and the street level, how we live our lives, and what we believe in our lives, the church level. You get it? There's these two things in our lives that need to intersect. And sometimes, you know, we come here on Thursday nights or on Sunday mornings and we walk through the church doors and yeah, we want to know, we want to hear from God, we want to know God deeper, and we want to worship him. And then when we walk out the doors, when we actually have a chance for our real life faith to manifest itself, we live in such a way that we don't even know who Jesus is. We don't make the time to get to know him. We don't make the time to hear from him. We don't make the time to worship him. The writer is trying to encourage us that our theology of how we live needs to match our theology of what's inside our inner core being. Does that make sense? The author is reminding us that that love is the basis of all Christian ethics, and it needs to be present in our lives. Love isn't something that needs to have an on and off switch. It needs to always be on. Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is so important that it's the constant theme throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 13 says that it's even greater than faith and hope. Love is important. We're challenged to share hospitality towards others, towards strangers. See, hospitality was important to the early church because inns were very expensive in that time, and inns were actually not very dependable and not very safe. A lot of thieves would stay at these inns. A lot of prostitution would take place. So the Christians were encouraged to show hospitality to travelers. And I think at Capitol Beach Church, I think we do an amazing job of showing hospitality. And I truly believe that it's something that we can take to the street level, to our neighborhoods. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you had one of your neighbors over to your house and just had them over for dinner? Or you got all the kids together and had ice cream? You know, at our house, we have these little ice cream cones, and they're amazing because all the kids think they're getting the biggest ice cream scoop, but really it's just like a spoonful because the cone is so small. It's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Hospitality is something that is so simple for all of us to do that really can have a kingdom impact on people's lives. I've seen it happen many times where someone showed hospitality to a neighbor and years later something tragic happened in their life. And you know who they went to? They went to that person who showed hospitality. That is what a kingdom impact is all about. And that's something that we can take to the street level. Prisoners were not treated well in the first century. Often these prisoners were depending on family and friends for just the basic necessities of life, like food and water. It wasn't like it is today. And the author's encouraging the audience to take care of these prisoners, take care of these ones that were persecuted for their faith. A lot of the Christians that were in prison at the time were persecuted, and we are being encouraged to take care of them. And I think today, I think that's no different for us. You know, just because someone is in prison does not mean that they should be withheld from the greatest hope that they could ever find. And if you ever Google prison jail ministries, there's tons all over Orange County, and they constantly go and visit guys that are in jail and in prison and minister hope and love to them. Most divorce rates are continuing to climb. Marriages, at times, forget that God has given you a spouse to refine your character. And what I mean is, he's given you a spouse that he will use to speak truth into your life with love, so you receive it with grace. And in that process, you become more like Jesus. The devil doesn't like that. And that's why he attacks marriage with everything he has. He tries to put us in these compromising positions, hoping that we'll fail, because he doesn't want us to be more like Jesus. Most marriages have difficulties with money. It's the number one cause for divorce, is money. The stress of money, not having enough, trying to pay your bills. The author, he's trying to help us, to show us how much money can have a stronghold on your life. He knows that it can consume us and devour us. So he's encouraging us to be free from the love of money. Check out these statistics. In 16 of the 38 parables in the Bible, we're concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, one out of every 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, 500 verses on faith, but offers 2,000 verses about money. Money is important, but it's not because God needs your money. It's because he knows what it does to us. He knows that it consumes us. He knows that it disconnects us from him when we fall in love with it. We're encouraged to be content with what we have. And I believe what the author's talking about is we have an amazing promise. Are you ready? We have an amazing promise that we are not alone, that we will never be abandoned. That is the promise that we can hold on to. When you put your life in that perspective, all the money in the world doesn't matter, right? There's one thing that you take away from tonight. I pray that it would be this. And it's my prediction for your life. And it's this. Just as hell will never freeze, God will never leave. Just as hell will never freeze, God will never leave. He will never leave you. He's never going to disown you. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to say, that was your last chance. He's never going to say, you blew it too much. I can't use someone like you in my kingdom. Just as hell will never freeze, God will never leave. Nothing that you have done or will do can separate you from the love of God. A few weeks ago, Bill talked about running the race that's set before us and finishing towards the finish line, and you come in into the stadium and all those who have gone before you are in the stands and thousands of people are cheering you on, encouraging you, go! Keep going, finish strong. And that image just resonated with me because I know what that's like. I ran cross country. I remember seeing my coach, go, Dave, go. I grew up going to a private school. Eighth grade, I had 20 people in my class. El Toro in high school, that's where I went, and there was 3,000. With all these sports, I didn't even know what cross country was. All I knew is that when I showed up for the first day for workout, we were supposed to run 3 to 4 miles as fast as we could, so I ran as fast as I could. And after that first workout, my coach came up to me and he's like, "Dave, did you know that you just ran with the top 5 varsity guys in our school? And you hung with them." And I was like, "Okay, cool." As I'm dying. You have potential to be one of our top runners, Dave, but it's not going to happen with those shoes. And I'm like, "What? These are like brand new. These are my pumps." Reebok pumps were huge back then. "Dave, those are basketball shoes, and those shoes are weighing you down." So he's like, "Take that shoe off. Give me that shoe." And he took off his shoe, and he's like, "Dave, feel the difference. Do you feel how light my shoe is? Do you feel how heavy your shoe is?" It was like a night and day difference. It's like holding my newborn son versus holding my 3.5-year-old daughter. Some of us are running the race with baggage, and it's weighing you down. Some of you are carrying past sin and shame in your life, and you're carrying it with you on this race, and you don't even need to. God says, "I've forgiven you," but you haven't forgiven yourself. God says, "Do not dwell on the things of the past. I am doing something new. If you confess your sins to me, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far has your sin been removed, and I remember it no more." Tonight, God wants to release you from the things that are weighing you down. He wants to carry the burdens that you've been trying to carry on your own. It's not even your burden to carry. So it's time to release it. Wants to tell you tonight that there won't be one moment here on this earth that you will spend alone, because I am always with you. I've been with you always. Sometimes we forget that. But you know what? Romans says that we've all fallen short, and trust me, we have all fallen short, but God is not done with us. He is doing something new. And just as hell will never freeze, God will never leave. Let me pray for you guys. God, we thank you that you never abandon us. You are always with us. Holy Spirit, I know that you're working on some of our hearts right this very second. There's some of us that need to release some things to you, some things that we've been holding on to, whether that's resentment, whether that's trying to handle our circumstances ourselves without trusting you just to handle them for us. We're continuing to hold on to the past. God, we would just release it to you tonight. Release these burdens that we've been carrying to you tonight. I thank you, God, so much that you take those things for us. Tonight, if there's anyone that needs prayer tonight, maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to release some things in your life, I just want you to stand. I'm going to call some things out. And if that's you tonight, I want you to stand, and I want to pray for you. I think there's someone in here tonight that needs to let go of some things that are weighing them down. Maybe it's past shame. Maybe it's sin in your life. You need to let it go. Maybe you're carrying a lot of pride in your life and it's eating you inside and you don't really know how to get rid of it, but you need to come under the mighty hand of God tonight. Let him remove that pride in your life. Maybe you love money too much. Maybe it's time to release it. It's not your money to begin with. Maybe God wants you to be a little more generous and trust you with more tonight. Maybe you're carrying resentment and you need to let go of that resentment. Release it. Maybe there's an addiction that you've been struggling with, and maybe this is the third time you are trying to beat it. And this time it's going to be different because it's going to be his strength and his power that is going to break that chain in your life tonight. God, you see all of our needs. You see everyone that's in here, even those that aren't standing right now. God, we ask that you would break these chains of addiction. You'd break these chains of selfishness. Take these things that are weighing us down. God, we release them to you now. Holy Spirit, we ask that freedom would reign in this place, that freedom would reign in the hearts and lives of every single person that's standing right now. God, replace all these things with hope and joy and love. Would you all stand with us? We're going to sing a song that God's love never gives up on us. It never fails us. And we're going to sing from the depths of our heart tonight because God is doing something in our lives tonight. And we're going to proclaim that. Amen? Love you guys. Your love never fails and never gives up.